This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hi, my name's Ange Barry, and I'm the CEO of Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTIQ community radio station. I'm new to Joy, but Joy's been around for 26 years. We want to be around for another 26 years, and to do that, we need to grow. My vision for the future is for Joy to become Joy Nation, a combination of video, news and editorial, and of course, the great radio station that you love. We are so grateful for the support that our community has provided us over the years, but we are now reaching out to you, our friends in the broader Australian community, to help make this happen. So I'm asking you now to choose Joy by going to joy.org.au and donating to our Chuff campaign, helping us raise $250,000 to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This morning, we'll bring you another show filled with guests, explainers, complainers, opinions, and perhaps a little bit of gossip. Stay in, stay alive. Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine with David Macca McCarthy.
Thank you, Hitch. Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9, streaming online at joy.org.au and available on podcast, this is Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9's flagship news, current affairs and lifestyle program. An eclectic mix of local and national news, current affairs and lifestyle, all framed within a queer perspective. I'm Macca. My co-host this morning is Paul. Fiona is on social media. Tass is still unwell, but we expect him back next week. He has the flu. The normal flu. This morning we're going to speak with Victorian Opposition Leader Michael O'Brien, and then also following Michael, Roger Wilkins. Roger's the professional fellow, Deputy Director, and the Hilda Survey Deputy Director. Now, the Hilda Survey is the Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia survey. So now I couldn't remember exactly what it meant, Paul. We're also going to speak with Salvatore Malatesta from St. Arley. Jeff Sparrow has written an article in the Guardian around, you know, let's say, how the response has been, what the economic impacts are as well, and what this bodes for the future. And then finally, Simon Ruth from Thorn Harbour is going to talk to us about casual sex. And as I foreshadowed earlier, I saw Brendan Nottle from the Salvation Army on the street a little bit earlier and was having a chat to him. Social distancing, of course.
Macca, you meet all the good people in all the good places, don't you?
I do. So there good I morning. Was, being a streetwalker. And I hope we will actually get to speak to Brendan around or just after the 11 o'clock news. So good
Isn't
morning.
Isn't that also great to find as well, someone from that organisation at the top end is actually grassroots doing the thing that they should be famous for.
Out there doing it. And look, I've been observing this pretty closely, and my role here at Joy as president, but also as a presenter, and I have quite a bit of interaction with government at both levels and also the city council. And I really, Sally Capp and her councillors and the folk who work for the City of Melbourne are doing an extraordinary job. Not just in the economic impact, you know, in terms of what they're doing to try and help businesses in the City of Melbourne, you know, but the cleaning and the outreach that's going on. And also our Premier, Daniel Andrews, in terms of the very, very clear messages, very strong messages that he's sending. And I did laugh during the week, you know, was it in this week? Yeah, when Daniel Andrews said, this isn't an opportunity to get all your mates around and get on the beers, right? Which is true.
I'm not sure ScoMo would have been quite so clear in that messaging.
No, and a couple of reporters, you know, have tweeted that they hope at the end of this that they can get on the beers in the gardens at Parliament or around with the Premier, and he said, you can count on that, but we've got other things we need to deal with. And I just, that was a really good response.
It is. I think at the moment as well, Macca, we have to really consider that there's no guidebook about what you do in these situations. And like you, I come from a sort of business background, and we do lots of scenario planning in business continuity exercises about what things may or may not happen. But we really got to understand that this is such a wide-ranging issue affecting so many countries around the world that governments are really trying their best to play catch-up with what's happening around them.
And look, there's going to be a lot of missteps. I hope next week we get to speak to Senator Ann Rushton around the issues with Centrelink, some of which I won't say have resolved, but have been dealt with in terms of people's ability to lodge an intention to claim. So what we saw, apart from hundreds of people queuing around pretty much every Centrelink in the country, the MyGov website and the Centrelink phone lines couldn't cope. So, you know, they're desperately trying to hire more people. They're putting more people on the phone. You know, they provided an ability for people to lodge an intent to claim. But one of the questions is going to be, so the payments, these extra payments, don't start till April 27. Then, you know, so Centrelink have already had, last figure they issued, 280,000 people on Wednesday lodged or clicked on the button on MyGov, their intent to lodge a claim.
Wow.
Now, I can only assume that that will have increased, doubled, perhaps, have tripled. The government originally, last week, said that, I think it was Matthias Cormann, that potentially 1 million people, and this is where it's really important, you know, could become unemployed. It's really important that that social welfare safety net isn't just there, but it's actually accessible. And I think that's been a problem, and it's not about beating up the federal government. The reality is they haven't delivered on this. And, you know, people out there are hurting. People need this support. So let's see. Hopefully next week we get to speak to Senator Ann Rushton.
I do think there's a good thing as well, Macker, about some of the sentiments that's been coming out, not just from our government, from other governments around the world, about this concept of hibernating the economy, and how do we try and just keep everyone ticking over? So what do we do in terms of putting rents on hold, putting mortgages on hold?
And I think, the Premier this morning, I was trying to watch it just before we came on, he was holding a press conference, and I'm not sure exactly what it was about. He was initially talking about the people who are flying into Victoria from overseas and how they will be isolated in hotels. And that's a really sensible thing to do because of the sheer number. Initially, you might remember the federal government isolated people, I think at a fly-in, fly-out workplace and a couple of other places. Manus.
But why so late, Macca? The whole New South Wales epidemic is caused from the fact primarily because we allowed people from a cruise ship to go.
And you know, there was an argument, excuse me, Paul, there was an argument or a bit of blame shifting between Australian Border Force and the New South Wales government. Now, the New South Wales Health Minister, Brad Hazzard, otherwise known as the Duke of Biohazard, right?
Why is that?
Well, the Duke of Hazards.
Okay.
And he's certain.
Thank you.
Play on words, Paul.
Got it.
But at the end of the day, someone has to be responsible. And I think the number of cases that are related to those cruise ships docking is well over 150, right? And each of those 150 will have transmitted it to other people. And we saw also, the other night on the news, hundreds, if not thousands of people at Sydney Airport, all in the arrivals hall, not social distancing. What the hell was going on? Why weren't Border Force or someone keeping them separate, which, you know, they're quite capable of doing. They love people lining up, you know, in all these little corrals. Why weren't they doing that?
And that goes to the importance of actually maintaining, you know, the chain of command in terms of social distancing from the moment someone gets off some public transport all the way through to their own destination.
So, you know, I think Australia's response is good. I do think it's been a bit slower than I would like. I wonder, what is it about that behaviour in St Kilda at the beach, Paul, as well as in Sydney, you know, the beaches up there, like,
do you think people just think, though, Macca, that the beach is a wide open space and don't quite understand that it really isn't when it's busy?
Well, the beach is in a vacuum, and predominantly the virus is transmitted in the air, in let's call it moisture,
yep,
from one person to another. So the beach is in a vacuum. You know, we're not all sitting in a little cone of silence. So I just, you know, I'm really quite annoyed about it, because one wonders just how we're going to, you know, cope with that. And the Premier said he will close the beaches if he has to.
There was a, and I don't want to blame the young here, because it's not as simple as that, but there was an issue again in New South Wales where backpackers were congregating at a party in a bar. Someone there had the virus. Then the transmission actually got to a few more people. And I think people just don't realise just quite how easy this virus jumps from person to person, with you know, the odd cough or the sneeze. It's such a simple, easy thing to do, and the beach seems like a safe place.
Look, I just don't understand it. There was a case of a woman in New South Wales, I think in Lake Macquarie or somewhere up that way, that had come back from Bali. She'd already been given one warning. She was to self-isolate, that she was out. Then a few days later, the police saw her again on the street and she was fined $1,000. This woman was 65.
Wow.
Right? So, no, it's not just the young, it's everyone. I like when Graham Ashton, the Chief Commissioner, was talking about this, and he said, it's not a criminal offence to be a dickhead. And I thought that was really appropriate, because that's what people are doing.
Yeah. And it's amazing, after all the messages that's been sent out, people don't quite realise just how serious it is. And if she's in that age bracket, she's one of the high-risk people that need to make sure that she's looking after herself. But I do think it's important for everyone to understand that, you know, the self-isolation and the social distancing measures do work. That's why everyone's being asked to do their part in taking part in these measures, because actually you can see that where that is happening in other parts of the world, the virus is not spreading as fast and is actually being contained.
And it makes common sense. You know, common sense. That's all that's required, is people just need to understand, keep your distance, wash your hands, you know, only go out if it's absolutely necessary, stay in and stay alive. Don't go to the beach. You know, don't go around to your mate's house, as the Premier says, and get on the beers, right? All you're going to do is pass the virus on or contract the virus, and potentially you could kill someone.
And I think the thing we need to be aware of, Macca, is that people are very adaptable. So I don't know about you, but my life has obviously been changed immeasurably by not going to the office and having to do a whole bunch of things in a different way. And we're very adaptable, and here we are a couple of weeks in, and we're working, and it's everything's ticking along as it should do, in as normal a way as perhaps you could expect it to happen. So I think when everyone is doing the right thing, this can really work. And we could be in this for a while longer yet, and I think no one really knows quite how long this is going to go on for. But the way that people are adapting, I think, is quite joyful to the fact that actually people are getting on with it.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I saw during this morning was public transport usage has actually dropped down almost 90%. Do you see that, Paul?
Yeah, I have. I've seen it on trains. My partner used to go into the city and has had to go into his office to pick up some bits and pieces. And I said, there's no one there. So I think, if I've read the messaging right, Qantas has actually gone down to... 50% of their capacity, because interstate is still somewhat going, although I think that's slowed down dramatically. But trains and buses are empty.
Yeah, they are. So with the reduction in public transport, that's a real challenge, because it's costing the providers money, because they're not getting fare revenue. And obviously the government's going to be having a pretty serious discussion with them about that. But there was another news item that actually surprised me quite a bit. The CFMEU and the Master Builders Association are actually having a discussion about 24-hour construction sites, having less people per shift, so to reduce the risk of transmission, but also to try and keep the economic activity going. And the one thing that amazed me is both the builders and the union, in fact, have said they've never worked together as closely as they have before. Now, that's got to be a positive thing. Purely and simply, it's got to be a positive thing to see them working together for the good of the industry, for the good of the employees, whilst maintaining safety. And I think that's a really, really positive thing. The other issue that's on the agenda is franchises. So franchisees, landlords, and everyone involved in the franchise industry actually has to work together. If they're not earning money, they can't pay the franchise fees. There's not just an employment impact. And, you know, this is a real problem across. We saw Meijer yesterday closing all its stores and standing down 10,000 staff.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.